We've gotten used to declarations of emergency in both our states in the last couple of years, but the latest comes from a county, not from the state. And it's not about the pandemic or fires. Jackson County commissioners voted yesterday to declare a state of emergency over marijuana. Cannabis grows well in the county, and a lot of it has been grown this year and in recent years. Some of it is disguised as hemp, the non-stoner version of the plant. We've discussed some of these issues earlier with the Oregon Liquor and Cannabis Commission. Now we hear from Rick Dyer, who chairs the Jackson County Board of Commissioners, about the state of emergency. Commissioner Dyer, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you, Jeffrey.
Good to have you here. So give the overview. What got commissioners to this point?
Well, as people probably are aware, it's coming to this point, has been coming to this point for quite a while. There is definitely an imminent threat to the public health and safety of the citizens of Jackson County due to the activities surrounding some of the illegal production of cannabis. And it's just been getting worse. It's just been getting more and more exacerbated the longer it goes without being adequately addressed.
I know a lot of people thought that once we got legalization in Oregon, this would pretty much be the end of anything like an illegal cannabis trade. It seems like it's gone in the other direction.
That's that was the expectation. I certainly thought that we would see, trending towards that direction. But, yeah, what's happening is there's a lot more illegal grows disguised as legal, well, at this point, illegal or registered and legal hemp farms. We're seeing a huge proliferation of that this year, and it's just causing multiple problems as we've lined out in the declaration.
It is a long and detailed declaration, and the first part of it goes very far into the subject of cannabis taxes. Walk us through the several steps and what they have meant in revenue for Jackson County.
Well, of course, that's another one of the factors that was touted when Measure 91 was on the ballot, is that we will be able to generate some revenue and use that for local services. Originally, Jackson County, back in 2014, Jackson County voters voted overwhelmingly to be able to institute a tax of up to 25% on retail purchases in the county. And then we also had some production taxes that would have enabled us to generate some revenue to be able to deal with some of the issues, some of the impacts here locally. After that was passed, shortly after, the legislature passed House Bill 3400, which stripped away our ability to do that other than a 3% local retail tax and replaced it with a statewide tax that was then distributed in a formula that I believe was wholly inequitable to the areas such as Southern Oregon that see a majority of the production activity. The production activity is actually the activity that requires more enforcement resources and more enforcement activity just by virtue of where it takes place. And again, what we're seeing happening right here in our valley that impacts the people that live here.
I'm seeing some of what you're talking about here. I mean, obviously in a place like Portland or Eugene, there's less chance of the stuff being grown around there, so the issues would be more around retail. But down in our part of the state of Oregon, in the southwestern part of the state where cannabis grows well, you got a lot more production.
Correct, and the distribution formula, basically the areas of larger retail activity, which of course are going to be the larger population areas, got a larger share of that revenue that was distributed. So it again kind of hamstrung us. And then, of course, last year, Measure 110 was passed, and Measure 110 provided for drug and alcohol treatment, which, of course, I'm all for. But in doing so, it reduced the amount that we were receiving on that statewide share basis by almost 75%. So that, again, made it even more difficult for us to handle these issues locally.
All right, so less revenue coming in from cannabis and more issues with cannabis, which includes, before we get to the criminal stuff, I want to talk about violations of county codes. The declaration says these are way up, too. What kinds of violations?
Well, we're seeing all kinds. A lot of the main ones, of course, you see the hoop houses, unlicensed, unregistered greenhouses, the hoop houses, some electrical, uninspected and unlicensed electrical systems that cause fire hazards in some of the rural, vulnerable rural areas. Road destruction, of course, noise and smell. There's activity, armed guards standing out in front of these groves in some cases. It's just a lot of very consequential environmental issues, quality of life issues, and health and safety issues. And there's a myriad of them. The ones I touched on were only a few.
Rick Dyer is the chair of the Jackson County Board of Commissioners and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. The commissioners declared a state of emergency over cannabis grows just yesterday. You can join the conversation as we explore what the meaning of the declaration is and what sorts of remedies it proposes. You can join us on the exchange by phone at 800-838-3760, by email jx@jeffnet.org. You did talk about human trafficking, worker exploitation, involvement of cartels. Specifically, what kinds of criminal acts are you bringing people in for, and are you able to catch that many of the people involved in these things?
Well, unfortunately, no, because these activities are going on all over the county. We don't even know the total number of these grows that are out there. We know that there are 335 registered hemp grows, of which 212 were inspected. 54% showed that they were growing marijuana illegally. And on those particular ones that we did get to see, some of the activities that were going on, there is human trafficking issues, forced labor, narco slavery, just squalid, unsafe living conditions for the workers, exploitation and intimidation, child welfare issues, and animal abuse. There's all kinds. This is a humanitarian crisis as well, and a real human tragedy that we're seeing. And again, we're only seeing, in my opinion, the tip of the iceberg.
Well, some of those activities you describe would fall directly into the jurisdiction of the state and even the federal government. Have you requested help in the past from those entities for help in addressing these issues?
We've been asking for help from the state for literally years, very intensified in the last few months because of the increased activity. But yeah, this is something that, again, when the ability to generate the revenue locally was severely curtailed, and the new, revenue sharing distribution plan was announced, we knew that we were not going to be able to adequately enforce some of these issues. So we have been talking to the state for, like I say, literally years, and really asking for some specific resources over the last few months. This emergency declaration just makes it, again, something that we are showing the urgency that we need these resources now, or this problem is going to continue to get worse. And by worse, there's really terrible things that could happen and be a result of this.
Well, Sheriff Nathan Sickler was with you yesterday at a news conference to talk about some of this. He has received, I understand, a grant recently to at least allow the hiring of a couple of more patrol deputies. But what did he say in terms of numbers about how many more he would need to address the issue at the current level?
Yeah, the grant will allow an additional number of law enforcement officers, but it doesn't begin to really address the true need. Sheriff Sickler estimates he'll need 18 detectives, 4 patrol deputies, 3 supervisors, 9 support staff, and approximately $750,000 in materials and services per year. And this is not with an anticipation or any sort of expectation that we'll be able to eradicate every grow. This is just to make the dent, to create a deterrent, to make it uncomfortable and unprofitable for these activities to take place here. But this is the minimum that we think we need to even be able to do that, along with code enforcement. We need to triple our code enforcement. I didn't give you the statistics today, but they're in the declaration of what's happened with our code enforcement cases and the length of time it takes to actually address them. So, we're looking for an additional 6 code enforcement officers. We need hearings officers to be able to adjudicate these complaints. And then, of course, we need additional staff in the Water Master's office. There's a growing amount of water theft and other offenses that the county Water Master cannot even respond to a lot of these complaints now because they have grown, by 700% in the last few years.
Are the grows taking water directly out of streams? I mean, there's not a lot of irrigation water, and operations like the Talent Irrigation District shut down quite a bit early this year.
Right. Yeah, no, they've been again, I haven't seen this myself, but I have heard the reports. They're diverting stream water, of course, using wells and depleting aquifers. They're accessing their water in any way they possibly can with, you know, no attention or concern about proper use and who they're affecting by the water that they're taking.
Rick Dyer is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Jackson County Commissioner and current chair of the Board of Commissioners, which voted yesterday to declare a state of emergency related to unlawful cannabis activities in Jackson County. You're hearing the details on this now. Your participation in the conversation is welcome by phone at 800-838-3760 and by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I've got a couple of emails here. Marilyn in Eugene writes, Oregon, as a non-native, she writes, Oregon is a culture of addicts of all flavors. Of course, this behavior of growing illegal pot is not a surprise. Thanks for that, Marilyn. Let's see. Heidi also sent an email from Medford saying the pot growers are covering our countryside with huge sheets of plastic as the world is trying to stop using it. It is truly awful, writes Heidi in Medford. To the point about the plastic, is that a direct violation of any codes, Commissioner, that you're aware of?
Well, the use of plastic in agriculture is something that happens in other industries as well. But as far as how they're disposing of it, it's just being plowed right into the dirt. So, yeah, that obviously creates huge environmental concerns and is a violation. So that's, again, just another aspect of the dramatic impacts that this is having. And you know, like you say, we have been trying to cut down on the use of plastic and especially the improper dumping of it, and this is just a widespread indication or application of which that is again severely affecting the environmental or has environmental concerns. Along with when they build the hoop houses and greenhouses, there's gravel that's put down underneath them. The gravel is then tilled into the soil, and this is high grade farmland, so that farmland becomes unusable at that point. The soil is then basically ruined.
You mentioned 335 registered hemp operations, 212 of which were inspected, and 54 of those tested positive for THC levels above what is considered hemp, and therefore into the realm of cannabis, you know, the smoking kind, the high kind. Mm-hmm. Does this come from the visit of the Ag Department, the State Ag Department, and the Oregon Liquor and Cannabis Commission?
Yes. Right. Yeah, those are some of the findings we received from them, and of the again, there's three. These are Jackson and Josephine County. I believe it was 76 did not allow entry, and 20 some additional could not be contacted. So that 54% that we're seeing that do have some sort of illegal operations going on is actually probably a much higher number.
Mm-hmm. Kent and Eugene dropped off a phone question. He says, there are some growers who live next to me who cause an incredible disturbance. The county, in this case, Lane County, doesn't seem to want to do anything. So he asks a question I think could be answered in any county. Is there a way to verify the legality of a grow?
Well, they have to be registered. If we're talking a hemp grow, they need to be registered. If we're talking marijuana grow, of course, they do as well. The legality is determined if it's a hemp grow that's registered, of course. The OLCC, OHA can go in and inspect the crop, and if they determine that it tests higher than it is allowed to, then of course they deem it an illegal crop. But at that point, they can't eradicate, they can't take the plants out. That then needs to be turned over to law enforcement that has to obtain another warrant, a criminal warrant, to go in and actually then eradicate and remove the crop. So it's a long process, and it requires a lot of resources and a lot of manpower. But, yeah, that's the way it's determined, whether it's legal or illegal grow.
All right, so the resources and manpower is what you're addressing with the Declaration of Urgency and asking for the state to get in gear here and provide money, people, proper share of taxes, and potentially even National Guard support. Have you received any – well, first of all, have you had any discussions with the state prior to putting out the state of emergency for the county?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what we've been talking about this for quite some time. There were some legislators that came down and actually flew over the valley and saw, you know, just the extent of the issue. There literally grows all over our valley. The governor, I know, is aware of this issue, and the ask for resources, the request has been there. There just hasn't been a lot of action on it. In fact, no action on it. House Bill 3000 did allow for some additional increase in the grant money that we were receiving, but nowhere near a level that we'll be able to use to adequately address this.
You know, one of the issues here, as exemplified by a case I was reading about yesterday, where some people got caught taking Oregon cannabis to Florida or Georgia, one of the southeastern states, for sale. Part of the issue, of course, is the fact that cannabis is not legal in a lot of other states. So there's certainly an economic incentive to grow it in Oregon and take it elsewhere. Is there any thought, any discussion, any position from the Board of Commissioners in Jackson County about legalization at the federal level?
Well, you're right. If it is legal federally, then that will take away some of the incentive of that black market, and that should alleviate some of the problem. We don't know when that's going to happen. We don't know if that's going to happen. So right now, we're addressing this issue as it is, and that, of course, does drive a lot of the incentive for the cartels or anyone to come in here and grow illegal marijuana, because it is so valuable outside of the state. The East Coast, you know, I've heard some numbers that an ounce of marijuana is going for back there, and yeah, it's gonna create a huge incentive for people to engage in this activity, and it's also going to create a large incentive for landowners to allow the leasing of their property, because the amount of money that they're being offered is so large, and it's difficult for them to turn down. Although that's, you know, another area that we need to create a deterrent, is that we can't make it as profitable for landowners to offer to lease to these operations.
And Commissioner, a final question then. Have you talked to other counties? Are they considering similar moves?
Yeah, well, Josephine County, of course, this, you know, Jackson and Josephine County are kind of considered just a region. We deal with a lot of the same issues. We have been in contact with them. Today, there'll be a roundtable discussion. Congressman Bentz will be there to discuss what, if anything, the federal government can do to help with this issue. We should have other county commissioners from Jackson County and Josephine County around the table, and some state legislators. So this is something that we realize is a regional issue. We share a lot of the same concerns, so we're going to try to pull resources and work in collaboration with any county that has similar concerns.
All right. State of emergency in Jackson County over cannabis grows. Rick Dyer is the chair of the Board of Commissioners. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange to describe what's going on.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.